Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, another edition, episode number 2. Welcome everybody for listening. Let me introduce the crew for tonight. Mr. Matt Michaels, how are you?
I am good. Thank you, DJ Daryl Impact.
No problem. Mr. Simon Street, how are you?
All I gotta say is,
who that? Yeah. You guys won. I mean, barely, but
I mean, barely. We dominated the second half. Shit. Hey, real quick. Okay. We added Philadelphia Eagle to our Super Bowl gumbo. Y'all all invited to have a bowl.
Okay. Appreciate that. Our other member who's normally here, who isn't here because he's under the weather, so get well lucky. He's not here tonight, but it's all good to take his place. For being such a great guy to fly all the way in from the beautiful state of California, Mr. Raven. What's up, man?
Super Bowl gumbo. Wow. First of all, I thought we weren't talking about current stuff. So if this airs after the Saints get eliminated,
it's airing this week.
Oh, it's airing this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Okay. And even if it didn't.
Well, I asked about the format, and they're just like, I don't know. But. Yes, L.A. No, actually from Orlando to Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, a lot of people may have texted me last week while I was watching Raw in the comfort of my front row seat.
Yeah, we saw you.
Despite ladies and gentlemen, any rumors of me yawning during the Hulk Hogan segment, I was not.
If you want to see who Raven is, go back to Raw from this past Monday.
January 7th, 2019.
Exactly. And look for the only black person in the front row, essentially. Unfortunately.
It's true. Well, it's Orlando, so, you know.
Yeah.
What can you say?
Orlando is a great town. Anyone listening in Orlando, you guys are awesome. Wow.
Silence. Crickets. Wow. Crickets.
I enjoyed my visit in Orlando. That's all I will say.
Well, there you go. Nevertheless, the show, we might as well talk about Raw, being that we're talking about it now. The opening of the segment, it was pretty strong. I mean, what do you guys say? I mean, you got Bobby Lashley fighting against Seth.
Why isn't Lucky here?
He's contagious. Right. And I don't mean in a sexual way. He's just contagious.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Just wondering. You know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because I'm sure he would have fantasy booked Raw a whole different way than
he would have
than what actually happens.
Yeah, but hey, going back, strong opening. What'd you guys say? What did you think of it?
Got to see No Way Jose.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, he's part of security now.
Yeah,
well, I was in Orlando. I mean, full sales right around the corner. Come on now, you had to fly him out.
Saw Zack Ryder. You know, he was helping out, breaking some stuff.
There you
up.
Go. Also, part of security.
Also because
it's in Orlando.
There you go.
This is also the 2019 Future Endeavors list. So.
Actually, there won't be any Future Endeavors. Not anymore. Heard there's some other company that's starting up that has pyro and rallies and...
Who?
I don't know. Can't.
I think we'll get to them in a little bit.
Yep. We don't want to do what we did last week and dominate a large portion of the podcast talking about them.
So. Best of luck to them, though.
Yes.
And your pyro. In the daytime.
Who doesn't like pyro in the daytime?
You guys.
The city of Jacksonville. They're all going to ban me now. I'm banned before they even get a TV deal. They probably won't be on this show anymore.
It's all good.
But as I was telling someone the other day, I think with so much merchandise and Hot Topic from a certain segment of the wrestling industry who has turned down a couple of WWE offers recently, I fully believe that since they love eating at Cracker Barrel, I truly believe that WWE should get merchandise inside Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I agree.
Just to counter the Hot Topic, you know, Dale.
Well, that would be interesting.
Hey, they sell everything in Cracker Barrel.
They do, actually.
They have cherry wine.
They do. It's just crazy that they don't have, like, you know, WWE toys from Mattel.
I think it's happening soon. I think there's going to be WWE merchandise in Cracker Barrel.
Might as well. Why not?
And the great thing is, you can get the New Day to sell pancakes.
Oh.
The gimmick's done.
I know, but I did. I wanted to see it.
You're still fantasy booking. Is Lucky? Are you Lucky?
I am.
No, actually,
I am another Beast
they
brother.
They do have pancake
yes.
mix on Cracker Barrel, so that would, you know, that would.
That's
have
what
been
I was talking
stop.
About. I wasn't talking about the pancakes you can eat there. I'm talking about an actual.
I know.
Yeah.
I've caught them. I know what the pancakes are.
Do you know what they taste like?
Daryl, do you know what they taste like?
I don't know what they taste like.
You
have,
sure?
Have you ever?
Because I think you smelled it when you didn't catch them.
Yeah. Have you ever fumbled a pancake in your life?
I think Daryl wants to talk about Raw last week. So, Brawl, Cena, Hogan, Mean Gene, which was a great video.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Hogan dropped the mic. Legit. Yeah. What else happened? Rousey and Bliss. Bliss had a segment. Rousey was there. Turned into a match with Sasha and Nia. Sasha fell on her head.
Well, that normally happens.
Sasha fell on her head again. Sasha won. What else happened? Oh, there was a great false count anywhere match with Dean and Seth.
That was I think that was really well done. I when I heard the match was going to be done, I wasn't excited. Now, I wouldn't say I wasn't excited, but we've seen it happen before, and it's been lackluster. But after watching it,
there hasn't been
really
a lackluster false count anywhere match.
For me, it's my perspective.
Where?
There's been tons of times we've had false count anywhere, and it's
Charlotte
not been great.
Charlotte and Sasha was great.
Yeah, but
Gargano and Ciampa was amazing.
But I'm talking about in the sense of it's the same thing every time. This one, you know, it surprised me a little bit. I mean, it wasn't bad. I was piqued. It's okay. Sometimes it you can create something that's been done before. And, you know, put a spin on. And that's kind of a good thing for WWE in general and Raw in general, because a lot of times people, you know, don't give them the credit they deserve.
Going through puberty? You're doing this?
I am.
This puberty
I am.
Challenge? It's just a hashtag, and you have to really go through it.
You know what? It just is, because I lost my voice. For everybody listening, I lost my voice on Friday night, and then we've just been drinking tea, and it just came back in time for me to do this. So, yeah. So it's still a little raspy.
Yeah, we've already given him his written warning to not be singing karaoke before his podcast is at the air. So he's learned his lesson.
Sorry.
I think Raw, the one segment, though, that was so painfully timed was the Lesnar Strowman segment.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It was just like nails on a chalkboard. I mean, the hype is good. I mean, you know, these two obviously have a little history. It's going to be nice to see the match. But, man, it just, again, pregnant pauses. They just need to figure out how to get past people just not going into, you know, just too much.
It's is the match really going to be good? I mean, is it going to be good to see? Because in my,
can I be honest?
My mind, I mean, for those who saw Crown Jewel, if you get F5'd over the top rope and you get pinned, why do I need to see you fight for the title again?
Just hoping they do something.
Like, you took five F5s, one of them was over the top rope. Like, how much else is, what else is there left?
If they can do something using the baseball stadium, that would be, and again, now you're talking the like false count anywhere type feel. Maybe incorporating, especially out there in Phoenix, you use that swimming pool. Maybe they could drown like Lesnar. I'm sure many people would be happy with that at this point.
Oh, man.
I think it would cost Crown Jewel money for Lesnar to get in that pool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just don't see what the match is really going to bring because we've already seen it.
I gotta agree with Raven. I feel the same way.
It would be different if that last match was the triple threat with Roman in it, but it was a singles one-on-one with five F5s, including Brock's first ever F5 over a top rope. So after that, how are you going to convince me that Braun Strowman, you know, who's technically, as of this recording, is still injured, you know, is going to, you know, beat Brock Lesnar?
Well, maybe you get Roman Reigns out there. And you have Roman interfere?
Will he come back that quickly?
If he's not healthy, why bring him back?
Yeah.
Because you're just teasing. You know, that's like the stripper in the regular area just showing you half a tit, and she's like, you're going to see the rest of it in the VIP room. You're like, I'm not.
Well, first of all, if I can see a half tit stripper, I'm totally down.
Well, you know.
Like literally a half tit.
Like a half tit. That's it.
Well, this is Vegas. I'm sure you can find that somewhere. But no, I mean, it's like, you know, I wouldn't waste a surprise return on Roman. That's an announcement that, you know, I would get a rating off of, as bad as it sounds. So it's like, sit there and convince me that Brock and Strowman is actually good at the Rumble. You know, I love Brock, but, you know, we just saw the match.
Basically.
I think we go the other way. I think Strowman beats the shit out of him.
But again, like you said earlier, it all depends on what kind of match they're having. Side note real quick, I didn't want to interrupt nobody. I am tired of seeing Lesnar in these typical matches. Like, and again, I'm not trying to sound like Lucky in fantasy book, but I'd like to see him in a false count anywhere, no disqualification, any type of match, kendo stick match, whatever you want, throwing the bam bathroom tub. With someone like Braun Strowman, I think that could be something different. I'm going to say the word different. Will it be exciting? I don't know. But I feel the same way that Raven feels because, I mean, I don't get excited when I think about them.
I mean, Brock doesn't need weapons to have a great match. Survivor Series, he had an excellent match with Daniel Bryan.
The weapons weren't for him.
That was strictly in the ring, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone should play stupid. Brock does what Brock wants to do, and weapons is not what Brock wants to do. Brock walked in there with an actual wrestler like Daniel Bryan and had a fantastic match. You know, Brock walked in with, you know, a monster like Strowman and F5'd him over the top rope and pinned him clean in the ring. You know, so why are we having this rematch? You know, what's
Strowman has to get, I would say you have to get the revenge on it.
I mean, depending on.
Because then you'll have a blow-off.
What?
Unless this is the blow-off.
I mean.
So is this like tying up loose ends is what you're saying?
This might be the blow-off. It might be the wrap-up of the rivalry. Could well be.
But so you're saying Strowman wins the title and goes to WrestleMania?
No.
As champ?
I say they keep the title on Brock.
Okay, so then Brock will beat Strowman twice in a row. So it's like.
Well, but remember, see now. You got a great point there. He beats him twice in a row. You do the blow-off. You don't give him the title. Wasn't he the guy who just got in trouble recently for the lateness and everything? And
who?
Strowman. Remember, he was in the doghouse before he got injured.
I'll have to call Vince and get the tardy reports and see. But, I mean, if we're going by that news off of the internet, then we have to go by the news that Brock Lesnar is wrestling a certain person for the title at WrestleMania.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that.
You know, so was Braun late? I don't know. But that's what the internet says. But the internet also in the next sentence says Brock Lesnar has a WrestleMania match. That's a title match. So once again, I say why Braun is in that match. You know, especially if he's still injured. You know, he couldn't do anything physical just 3 weeks before the Rumble.
Right.
You know, so is he going to magically heal in 2 weeks? And be ready to do.
He's got those hands.
You know, yeah.
He's got those hands. He could. Yeah. He could. I think he could definitely go in there and get F5'd like within 40 seconds and it's done. there's your blow off, and then you get them off TV for a while.
I mean, there's ways to do it.
Possible.
You know, I'm sure there's, you know, I guess we'll, let me open the Lucky Fantasy booking page, you know.
Can we give him a segment called Lucky's Fantasy Booking?
A segment, that's a whole show. But, you know, I mean, fantasy booker or not, you could say it's Lars Sullivan that comes in and costs Strowman the match.
If he doesn't have a mental breakdown.
Setting up Strowman and Lars. So
I could see that.
If he doesn't have a mental breakdown. If we listen to the internet.
I mean that's true. He did have issues. But, you know, as...
Who doesn't?
Well, I see a lot of people joking about Lars and his mental issues. And I don't think in this age it's something to joke about. You know, for a wrestler to have an anxiety attack to the point where he can't do television is a pretty serious thing. And there was a lot of support behind him, especially a lot coming from Moro, because it's no one knows, you know, if unless you have that situation, no one knows. And everyone's like, oh, well, he had cold feet going into Raw, you know, in that building. And like, well, Lars has wrestled takeover events that are in major arenas. So I don't think it was personally 10,000 people in the building that triggered it. It could have been something else. It could have been, you know, his first time ever meeting people like Vince McMahon, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, Ronda Rousey, and people like that. You know, maybe it got to him, you know.
Could be some personal things that we don't even know about.
Yeah, it could be, personal stuff. I mean, really, he's been off of TV since early December.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what happened over the holidays and, you know, coming back. And so on. So, you know, it could have been a lot of things. And I see a lot of people saying he's not up to it and so forth to handle WWE. But, you know, who are they to say?
The other thing, too, with anxiety, don't forget. Anxiety is associated with mental issues. However, anxiety is a physical attribute that is crippling. And the thing is if physically, and I've had anxiety attacks where you don't control it. It's not from, you know, a thought or stress or it just starts coming over your body and you get weakened. And the thing with that is if you are then putting someone else in danger by going into the ring, even if it's for, you know, just a simple, you know, a little melee or something like that. The problem is that without that strength, you might hurt someone as well.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So I think in a way, in the long term, it could have been a positive for the company because they now have someone who this has come out publicly having, and, you know, they could latch on to it as far as learning more about it as they do, like breast cancer. And I'm sure, you know, when Roman comes back, we're going to see Leukemia Foundations teaming up with WWE.
Mm-hmm. Or like they did with Darren Young.
Yeah. They actually did do that with Darren Young. Let's be honest.
Did they?
They jumped all on that. Like, well, I probably shouldn't have said it like that. But yeah, they on the concept of
being
open, you know,
but,
in
but
supporting
my point
it.
Was...
I think he was... being sarcastic.
Yeah, my point
is actually serious.
But after, you know, he had the coming out, and then all of a sudden, what happened? Where is he?
No. But that was his choice, though. That wasn't the company's choice. From what I've heard for the longest, again, not saying I know I have inside source. From what I've heard for a long time, was it was just his choice. Like he didn't want to kind of do it anymore. I don't know. I mean, that's just what I remember hearing. But I mean,
didn't
I
want to do what. Wrestle?
I wouldn't say wrestle, but I would say he wanted to do different things. I mean, and that happens for anybody.
Well, he's on the indies. I think he still wants to wrestle.
maybe it's the schedule. You know, I don't know.
I'm sure it's
the
schedule. But I mean, they do a lot with Sonya Deville and the gay and lesbian.
Well, even look at Balor Club with you know their support. Even though I don't think he is. I'm pretty sure he's not. But whenever I saw the rainbow colored Balor Club, I thought that they were in full support of, you know, an all inclusive. Everybody's a part of Balor Club, which I thought was cool.
Yeah,
that was really, really good to have.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times,
Even though the shirt was banned in Saudi Arabia.
Everything's banned in Saudi Arabia.
Renee Young wasn't.
Well, this is true. But I will tell you, I think it's cool whenever it, well, for me, I think it's better when it comes from a place, to, from like a person that's not part of the LGBTQ community, because it means more, I feel, because it's always something you expect. Okay. If Finn Balor was, lived a certain way. Do you see what I'm saying? Then it would make sense, but he doesn't.
Can't say the word gay or homosexual.
It was in the contract that I signed with Impact. He told me I'm not allowed to say like these list of words.
I didn't say that at all. Stop it.
No, but I really think that they'll probably try to team up with some organization that deals with the anxiety and so forth. And we'll see a lot about that, because that's what the company is right now. Despite what all the fans bitch about the company and say, you know, it's a wrestling company, but at the same time, it's a entertainment company that now has to worry about themselves and their sponsors more than their fans, I can say, in a way. I mean, they do care about their fans, but a lot of fans feel that they don't care about them, which is always funny because those are the same fans who still buy tickets to the show or still watches the 3 hours. But, you know, the fans are always going to bitch, and in a perfect segue, I guess there's a different promotion now that they can watch, so they don't have to bitch at WWE anymore.
They're always going to bitch. But the whole point of who they watch.
The whole point of having the McMahons now, though, is to give the fans what they want, right? That's why the McMahons are back.
Are they?
You really have this obsession with the McMahons.
He really is.
Taking over.
Well, because he loves, you know, Linda working for Trump. So.
Wow.
No,
because DJ Impact Entertainment was a small business association. So he can talk to Linda and be like, hey, you know, I had a small business myself. Can you help me out here?
I'm just saying.
I used all my money from my small business to support your WrestleMania tickets each year.
Well, let's segue over to SmackDown. What did you think of how that started? You had Daniel Bryan out there with the fans and the concession area. I thought that was a pretty good little.
It was excellent. You know, I mean, you start the day off with the rally across the street from SmackDown, and people in their new shirts and their pyro and everything. But I did see a lot of things on the internet about fans saying that WWE was not allowing people
right
in the show and which ultimately turned out to be a lie. I believe there were a few fans that were asked to change a shirt or whatever, but the WWE eventually did let, or I should say the arena let everyone in despite what you had on. So, you know, I think fans try to, it's like when fans go to the arena early and they take a picture, and so the arena is obviously empty, you know,
right?
And then they post and be like, oh, no one's here at the arena. I'm like, well, yeah, if you're the first person in the arena and you take a picture, of course, right, no one's in there. So it's always funny how people just try to, you know,
I mean, why belittle would they
the WWE, but yet you still pay to see the WWE.
Right.
I mean, come on. Let's all be a Simon here and just enjoy the show.
I mean, you see people.
Not
see
Rome Simon.
Yeah, that guy really sucks at sound. Sorry, sound guy, Rome Simon.
You
really
see people with Bullet Club shirts all the time.
All the time.
And they're not kicked out. I couldn't imagine why you would kick out someone wearing anything else.
I didn't think it was true at all. I just thought it was just bullshit.
It happened. There were a few people.
But was it a security guard? Because we have some problems with security.
I think
here.
It was a miscommunication between security and the company. Yeah. And I think the arena took their own, you know, steps and tried to do something. And WWE was like, no, that's not how we're working today.
And I'm going to run with that, because when we went to NXT,
mm-hmm,
about 2 years ago.
Now they should have kicked you out anyway.
They missed us. But when we went to NXT, I remember 2 years ago.
Right.
Remember how when we got there, we were enjoying the show and security couldn't get their shit together to find out, is it okay for us to stand up? We were in the front row.
Oh, right.
And we're like, we can't stand up. We're like, what kind of fucking shit is this? Like, I paid a fucking ticket. I'm going to fucking stand up.
Yeah.
And so I've noticed that there can be, because I have worked security jobs before, to where they don't communicate well, and so sometimes they think that they take this on their own account. Oh, well, you shouldn't be wearing an AEW shirt at a WWE event. I've seen that happen so many times, even just with outside of wrestling. So when I heard that, I was like, that's bullshit.
Are you going to get AEW shirt? Because it matches the colors of that jersey you have on there. Kind of.
I mean, all right, y'all know my honest take on AEW. I think it's great, but at the end of the day, they haven't done anything yet. I'm one of these people, like, I get excited after it's been
produced.
I mean, like, ask me again after I go to their show or I see something on TV. Then I'll give you my honest opinion.
Are you going to All In?
Yeah, I'm going to go to All In because it's in my fucking town. I'm going to go.
Are you going to be
double
able to
or
get
nothing?
A
actually, no, not All In, Double or Nothing. Thank that you. Was a good one. That was
come on now.
I caught that for a second. Yeah. Yeah. Am I going to get a ticket?
Yeah, because I think that.
I think that's... tickets are going to be ridiculously to get.
Yeah.
It's, I'm pretty sure they are. I don't care what seat I am for this because it's something new. Do you know what I mean? So
apparently, they wanted to get the T-Mobile arena, which would make most sense to do that. But T-Mobile was under the impression that the Knights will be in the playoffs during that time or getting close to the championship games and couldn't slot them in for that. That's how they ended up at the Grand, which is, as you know, I think is about a 5,000 to 6,000 seat difference between the two. So this is gonna be very tough to get tickets. It's gonna sell out for sure. But they wanted to get a bigger
Yeah, it was going to sell it were no matter where it was at.
Yeah.
I really wish they would have ran T-Mobile because I just wanted to see what WWE's mindset would have been at that point.
Right.
You know, what their numbers are.
Do they pull out of Vegas? You know? No, I mean,
everyone, I hear what you're saying.
Everyone
yeah.
knows, you know, sometimes the company doesn't like certain things like that.
Right,
You know, it's like, would they go back to Thomas and Mac? Would they just swallow the pill and keep running T-Mobile after that point?
Or Sam's Club or Sam's Town.
Well, they could be at Sam's Club also. You know? But I think that's the local Vegas promotion. But I really wish they would have ran T-Mobile and, you know, just to see in the long term, you know, what WWE would have thought about that.
Yeah. Well.
Would have given Vegas a pay-per-view quickly, though.
Well, yeah, cool. That would have. So we got Chris Jericho, we know, 3-year deal for sure. And apparently he got Vince's blessing.
He did get Vince's blessing. And I want to bring up something that somebody at www.fantasybooking had stated a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
That this person was removed from the alumni on WWE. That is false. It's very false. He is still very much there.
Mm-hmm. No, he's actually removed from the opening of the WWE.
Well, that
party
was,
shows.
But he's the person said it was on the webpage, the alumni. I was like, no.
No, he's on the alumni. He was removed from the active roster list.
Yeah.
But, you know, and, you know, blessings, you know. We'll see how many more WWE talent can actually be on Talk Is Jericho from this point. Yeah, well, those blessings are.
Yeah, it's true.
Apparently, though, the hottest free agent, Kenny Omega, he didn't sign with them and then leaving New Japan. Yep. So what do you think that's about?
When is this show airing?
Yeah.
When is this show airing?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yeah.
I think a lot of things can change by the time this show airs.
Oh, I'm sure.
I can tell you who's very happy. Juice. He's super excited. There's a huge hole, and he's just filling right up in there. So
I think Omega will end up in AEW. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's WWE bound.
It kind of makes more sense.
Impact.
Are you just throwing shit out?
Yeah, you look like you're just throwing it out there.
Like, hold on, is he serious?
That's funny.
Well, you know, I read from my sources on fantasybook.com.
That's a new site now.
Yeah, that you know what, and I, you know, logically, AEW makes sense for him. However, I think that if the offer's on the table, you take that money and run with Vince just to, you know, he's Omega's 35, so, you know, do a 3-year deal, hit that money, take it in, and then go join your friends after that. You know. The other thing I don't understand, too, and this is something I read where the whole article was basically referring to Kenny as the greatest wrestler alive today. And first of all, with that title, it's always subjective to, you know, whoever's writing an article or talking about it.
Right.
And as good as he is, can you actually say that he's the best wrestler in the world right now?
Well, I think it's ignorant for most people to really take that conversation seriously in any realm. It's in, unless you're going to categorize best in the world or GOAT or whatever the hell it is, you got to give a timeline.
Well, no, no, no. like right now.
For this year, 2018, is he the best wrestler?
Right now. Well, the best wrestler in the world right now.
Of course not, because we all know Shane McMahon won the Crown Jewel. So, yeah. I mean, what are you talking about?
That's true.
Come on, Shane McMahon.
And he's got a tag team championship match coming up at Rumble. Yeah. Man, come on.
Top that, Kenny Omega. Jeez.
But, you know, the whole idea that Kenny's made, he's done good matches. Mm-hmm. He's a very good wrestler. He's a very good talker. There's no doubt about it. I'm not going to rag on him.
Right.
But at the same time, what is the difference between Kenny and, let's say, AJ? Right?
Right.
I think AJ Styles, you could argue, is, you know,
best right now.
Best right now.
Mm-hmm. Say Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne's a great example. Yeah.
What, 300 plus?
600. 300. We're at like 607 right now.
Yeah, so
it's very, again, it's one of those, like, this whole idea of this company just being something it isn't yet, and what fans want this to be, and the hype around it.
It's a perfect company for fantasy bookers.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Know, it's like, we have to wait and see, because, you know, everyone's, like I said, I've known the Bucks since they were, you know, younger, and
when they were the younger Bucks,
you know.
You mean back in the Generation Me days?
Before Generation Me.
Wow, that's a pretty damn long time.
Weren't you their babysitter?
No, not that I remember. But no, it's like, from the surface and the production and the office standpoint, it's so great what they're doing.
Right.
You know, to find someone that is, I think he was ranked number 27 in the top 100, you know, richest people in America. To get someone like that to fund your, to like you and fund your product, you know, and do everything he can to help your product, you know, start from ground zero. They have done something 99.9% of people wish they could have ever done.
True.
You know.
Yeah.
But a lot of fans need to realize, like, it's a lot, because, you know, you have to lock in a TV deal. And then once you lock in that TV deal, what day are you going to be on? You know you're going to go in there and fight not to be on Mondays or Fridays. Mm-hmm. You know, then it's like, okay, so you pick a different day. And then what time are you going to be on there? Are you going to be on at 8 o'clock? Because a lot of wrestling fans are used to 8 o'clock time slots. Are you going to be on at 9 o'clock? Are you going to be on at 10 o'clock? You know, how long is your show going to be? Is it live each week? You know? If it's not live, how many shows are you going to tape? You know, are you going to go live every other week? Or are you going to be, you know, live once a month? Or are you going to do, like, Impact and tape multiple, you know, episodes, you know, over several periods and let all your spoilers come out, which that audience hates spoilers, you know? So it's like, you know, there's a lot, you know, if you do pick a certain day, you know, that's available, let's say a Tuesday, you know, are you worried about someone else coming in and countering that day? You know, because not that shows on the network take away ratings from other, no, let me rephrase it. Not that shows on the WWE network take away ratings from actual TV networks, but if, let me open page 4 of Lucky's Fantasy Booking. If, you know, AEW gets a Tuesday night time slot and WWE is like, well, let's go live on Tuesday with our first ever women's promotion show, or, you know, something else. You know, let's do a live broadcast or podcast or whatever.
Let's just do titties. We'll do 2 straight hours of titties on the network, and that will sell.
Yeah. You know, so does that...
There'll be a lot of repeat viewers. Does that,
does that distract fans? Because, yes, titties? It's on the network. Yes. It's on the network, and everything on the network goes on demand instantly. But, you know, during the commercial break of AEW, do you switch to the network and then get kind of sucked in for 10 minutes? And then you miss 10 minutes of the other show.
Right.
You know, there's so much that has to be done. I know a lot of fans were talking about the pyro at the rally, and there was rumors or whatever that pyro is going to be used in the company. And I don't think people realize that pyro is very expensive, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But there is such a fucking weird obsession with wrestling fans and pyrotechnics.
Well, I don't know if it was...
I don't get that excited.
I don't think it's an exception. It's something that this audience was you know, raised on. You know, it's like...
That's true.
Look how amazing it is when a wrestler has a gimmick and he comes out with no music. When Tommaso Ciampa had that gimmick last year and he came out with no music, that was the greatest thing, you know. We're watching technical aspects happen right now. I think this is how AEW probably is going to do their live show.
Oh, just stop the middle of the match and adjust just microphones? Stop in
the
middle of
it, adjust the microphone. No, but... But yeah, it's like, you know, we were raised on pyro and music. So I think when it was taken away from the because WWE obviously had the greatest pyro ever.
True.
When AJ Styles came out, when Brock Lesnar came out, the openings of Monday Night Raw, you know, Kane, Taker, you know, everyone. So when it was taken away and it's only used once a year for WrestleMania, it's like, you know, oh, that's great. I wish it was coming back. So if another company is doing it, I think that's why a lot of fans are happy, but it's very expensive. Like, how much money are you going to lose before you realize we can't keep doing this? Or they're just going to be like, we're just going to keep doing this, you know? So
apparently with this generation of wrestling fans, what we could do is just set off fireworks and then have shitty wrestling matches and everything will be fine. That's the best company ever. These guys are great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's a very interesting company because now all the free agents out there they can negotiate with anyone now. You know, before, you know,
Darren Young.
Just a month ago, you know.
He's already part of a promotion already.
A month ago or 2 months ago, you know, free agents really couldn't negotiate with people. It was like, I want to get to WWE. I want to get a tryout. I want to be used as extra.
Well, brings up a very good question, though. And I think this is something that hasn't been really floated out there. And that is, what is the scope of the budgetary aspects of the company itself?
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is, the cons are billionaires. Okay. That's true.
So was Ted Turner.
Right. So what is the constraints of the budget? And does it give true leverage when it comes to... I mean, obviously, it's going to give someone like Jericho, you know, because of his establishment and stuff. He's going to get a nice contract. But would someone get a better offer from Vince, take Kenny Omega? Could what they offer him be matched by AEW? And if AEW matches it or does better, then how does that trickle down to the other talent they need to round out the actual company?
Yeah, because and that's the thing, is rounding out, because, you know, I mean, as we've seen, there have been contracts offered in the past month or so, and people surprisingly taking certain contracts. You know, everyone knows WWE was after Adam Page. Right. And he went to AEW. Everyone knows AEW, WWE, and ROH, and I'm sure Impact, were after Bandido.
Right.
And he went to ROH, you know. Right. So, you know, I think it's, at this point, everyone's just, free agents can pick and say, well, I can take this sum of money and move to Orlando and work in NXT and hope to be called up at some point. Or I can take this money and go to AEW and not work as much and have a good life.
You've got a very, very good point there, and I think that this is something that's getting missed. So fans want to basically compare AEW to the WWE. However, I think you hit on something that's very telling, and that is ROH, AEW, NXT. All on the same level.
Yeah.
And
what?
I said that shit last fucking episode. I didn't get no coronation speech like you just gave him. Goddamn, what cologne are you spraying on your dick? Can I get a little something like that? Because I said that last week and it was like crickets. Keep going. I just want to add that in there.
Oh, no one.
Shit.
No one listened to the last episode.
I guess not.
Yeah. I'm fresh off of a front row
episode. It's all good.
Off of a front row episode of Raw, so sit down over there.
I guess so. I need more TV time to get noticed.
Don't let me call the security and have you sit down in your front row seat.
Oh, damn.
Go ahead.
But in the end, what they're trying to do is compare AEW as competition to WWE, when in reality, it is, you know, part of this three or four, if you want to throw Impact in there, or even New Japan. Those are all, like, they're all on the same level. And then you have your established giant
WWE.
It's
literally New Japan, NXT, ROH, AEW, you know, with the, I'm not going to say retirement era of WWE, but the era of making yourself a superstar.
Right.
You know, the other companies, you become a star, a pro wrestler. You know, you can do your Dave Meltzer 5-star matches in those companies. And you go to WWE to, you know, become a character in a video game so no one has to create you in the CAW mode anymore, you know, and so on. So, no, that's pretty much what it comes down to, you know.
So basically what we have is, if you go to one of those companies, Meltzer is a 5-star match. But if you have been in one of those companies and you've been getting Meltzer's 5 stars and you go to WWE, now you're Meltzer's 0.5-star match guy, because it is a transformation.
It's a huge transformation, you know. Yeah. And
it's
a huge jump, you know. You may get comfortable somewhere and then realize one day you took a phone call and signed a contract and you have to move to Orlando, you know, and not knowing how long you're going to have to be there for. So it's an interesting time. I think it's going to be telling on who on the indies actually wants to be a wrestler and serious about being a wrestler, from all aspects of in-ring ability, promo ability, and looks. I had an indie wrestler DM me earlier today. I should have blocked him. Showed me a clip of his match the other night where he, you know, he's a bigger guy and he did a spot off the top rope and, you know, the guy moved and everything. And then I asked him, like, you know, why did you do the spot? You know, because what was the point? He was like, well, it was telling a part of the story. I'm like, jumping off the top rope and missing it doesn't really tell a story. It just tells fans you're just a spot monkey, you know, that you want to be a big guy and you want to jump off the top rope. Because I told him, like, you know, if you hit the spot, then that may be telling a story, because if you hit it and the guy kicks out but he's holding his ribs afterwards or something, you're telling a story where you almost had him and he's still kind of damaged and you may be able to finish him off at some point. But going to the top rope and kind of spinning in the air and hitting nothing but canvas, like, what did it really tell? You know, right. What are you telling me? Mm-hmm. And I told him, I was like, you know, watch NXT, because, you know, you don't see too many big guys go off the top rope. Mm-hmm. And if they do, they're going to hit their spot.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely did Lars Sullivan jump off the top rope and miss.
Right.
You know, the guys from War Machine, they don't really miss when they hit, if they jump off the top rope.
They can't really miss anything. They're so big. Yeah. They're going to hit something.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, they hit their point, you know, so it's like you did this in front of 40 people. What story are you really telling these 40 people? Because I can guarantee you that none of those 40 people at the end of the night knew anything about the story.
So speaking of indie wrestlers and spotting.
Oh, God.
What do you think?
What kind of spotting?
Well, the kind that comes from bloody tampon.
Is that what
the shoved in someone's mouth?
Oh.
So, I mean, what do we feel about that? Does it, I mean, it made news. It made headlines. People were talking about it.
Of course they were. The first thing I liked about it is that it actually happened in December. So I was shocked in this day and age that something like that happened literally 3 weeks prior and no one said anything about it. And the only reason someone said something about it was because it was tweeted to Gail Kim and she retweeted her thoughts about it. And then it just took a firestorm from there.
Well, let's paint a picture for people listening who don't know what we're talking about.
Go ahead. I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't want you to do it. You guys are talking about it. I've been quiet the whole time listening to y'all. I'm just trying to help y'all provide context for the people listening.
Well, you don't tell Picasso to paint a picture, and you don't give any input on what you want Picasso to paint.
Look, I'm just saying. I mean, for someone that's listening, they may not know what you're talking about. That's all I'm saying.
There's a wrestler named Priscilla Kelly who did a spot which she was, I think, one of your favorite false count interim matches, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
She went into her pants and pulled out a bloody tampon and stuck it in her opponent's mouth. Now, on the surface, it was a very fucking creative spot.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to do things in this day and age that has never been done in wrestling. So it was really cool.
And the funny thing is I think that there was this, like, outrage that she went too far and stuff. But don't you just think, sitting in Stamford, Connecticut, behind his desk, he somewhere within the last 30 years.
I know he came up with that shit before.
Yeah, was at a desk meeting going, I see menstruation. A bloody tampon. Ah, yes. Tori, pull out the tampon and shove it in Trish's face. Oh, yes. Yeah,
but, you know, that was then and this is now. You know, no, seriously, because if you watch the WrestleMania 22 match, they did take the spot away from when Mickie James grabbed Trish Stratus's crotch.
Right.
That spot is not no longer on the broadcast.
But it's still on Simon's loop.
Yeah. But honestly, so
basically.
I met Priscilla years ago in Atlanta, and you know, I pitched her to, you know, to she got a tryout and she did a lot of extra work and so forth. She's she came off of when I met her, she was coming off a reality show on, I think, Bravo or something.
Right. Yeah.
So she was kind of a reality TV star, quote unquote. I think the spot was creative.
It fit her character too.
I think it was pretty fucking stupid. You know.
Absolutely.
And it's
absolutely
up to her of how she's going to deal with it from this point on. If it becomes something that is going to be used often in her matches, I think she's going to turn away a lot of people in the WWE. Just being around the company this past week and hearing people talk about it, a lot of people aren't too fond of it. And I'm not talking talent, I'm talking people who work in office.
Right.
But they said the same thing. It's all about how she deals with it from this point on. Now, her comment towards people who were remarking about it was her comment, whether it was right or wrong, smart or dumb, however you want to take it. People can see both sides. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm sure she got a lot of her email requests, because I think it was one of those things when Joey Ryan first did the dick flip.
Right.
And in Joey's career, you know, he was at a point where I hear Fuzzy. Joey was at the point where I hear nothing now, and now I hear stuff. What is this? Dave Marquez production? What's going on here?
That damn sound guy.
No,
I fire freaking Rome. I
think you know, Joey was at a point in his career where I don't know where he was wanting to go.
Right.
I don't think WWE was in his sights. He just came from ROH or ROH and TNA, I believe.
Yeah, it was the TNA. Right.
So the dick flip thing was great, and it works for him, you know, and it's making him a lot of money. He's done a lot of TV shows and so forth. Priscilla, I think, is someone who could have a future in the WWE, but I don't know if you keep doing this spot will, you know, keep WWE, you know, interest in you.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, because I haven't seen this, so I'm going to...
No, that's exactly why I said earlier, let's paint.
Well, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna pull it up just so I can. But I would assume that this spot that was done, it was written for this to be done, right?
There's no
writers on Andy.
No, no.
Oh, just I got you. Okay.
No, it's just like, hey, let's do this spot. Ah. Okay. Yeah.
You gotta take this in, and that's why I think it fit her. It fit her character.
It fit everything there. I think the only reason why I'm kind of against it is because I think she has a lot of talent and could be in the WWE. She was in the Mae Young Classic,
right?
This year?
This year.
Is the second one. Yeah.
Right.
So she was in the Mae Young Classic, and, you know, so she has been in a WWE ring on a WWE broadcast, which means in this day and age, she could probably get, you know, a contract with them eventually, as long as she, you know, does the right stuff. Doing this once, cool, we got it done. People talked about it. Great, hope you got some extra Twitter followers. If she continues to do it, I think it just may turn some people off.
Well, and it also, to me, that see, that's where I say take into consideration the character. It worked in that moment. If you continue to play it out and use it over and over again, it just detracts from what, you know, you took the shock value out of it. And now it's just essentially like doing, you know, a high spot move again and again and again. At some point, it's just not as effective anymore, and you got to change your finisher.
I found it. Okay. Go do your thing. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I found the video now.
It's wonderful seeing you looking at it and laughing immediately.
Right. But I will say this, kind of getting back to what led to this. I think not just looking at what's going on in, or the interest, the peaked levels of interest in indie wrestling. I think just in general, if you look at the culture we live in now with the power of content creation, I think that that's also led to, you know, other entertainment media sources. I mean, you have, you know, my you know, other love, video games. You have indie games that have come out taking awards from AAA games. And again, it's just...
Did someone call my name?
Not Triple H, Triple A's.
I am the Triple H game.
But you know, the cool thing is now that we're starting to see this take place, you know, not only with movies, you know, and I say that because like with, even though people look at Netflix movies and so much success they've done, when they first came through and they said a Netflix movie, we didn't put them on the same level as a movie theater, you know, like a big marquee movie.
Right.
So I think that when you look at it culturally and mm-hmm. how it's now playing out in wrestling, I think it's great.
You brought up a very good thing, and this is a great question in terms of the future. So Netflix just came out with the Black Mirror movie. Where you can banish snatch?
It's called Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch.
Oh, okay.
But you thought I said bladder snatch or pussy snatch? That's the other one coming out.
I know your question, because I actually sat and watched this movie with a few people from NXT, and we pondered could this be the next in wrestling?
Yep.
You know, can you do a promotion like this where the fans pick the finishers or pick the next spot, or, you know, and in a way it's already being done in the WWE by the video game, because it's exactly how 2K18 and 19 are. But, you know, I could see something like this being done in a promotion by the end of this year, you know, easily. I think first there's going to be a Bird Box match. And then,
we've had
matches like that.
Yeah, WrestleMania 7.
You don't have to educate me, because I was in the 10th row of WrestleMania 7.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. I was in front of my TV.
Ironically, you were also the only black person in the 10th row at WrestleMania 7.
In the 10th row, but not the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th, because you got to remember the sports arena was in South Central.
So. Right.
But no,
it's a short.
Yeah, it's
this. I think it's
just pretend you don't hear it, and the sound guy will fix it by next show.
Fix it in post, as they say in television.
There you go.
The fuck is a room?
But yeah, no, I really do think there's going to be a blindfold match coming up very, very soon on the indies. If you know, if it hasn't happened already.
Well, how about a blindfolded contract signing? Like, that would be entertaining.
I like when the mic goes out so I don't have to hear you.
I feel like CM Punk. Like,
yeah. Actually, the mic's not going out. It's just the headphones.
It's just the
Oh, is it? Okay, so we sound like we're in a bird box promotion.
Well, I mean, you know, the Punk mic went out right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. And, you know,
it must
now
be a Las Vegas thing.
It must be a Vegas thing.
Censorship.
Yeah. But no, I do see something like Bandersnatch happening in the wrestling scene.
And I already love it. We'll call it Vince's Snatch.
So Vince is admitting he has a snatch?
Hey, man.
It won't be in WWE, though. I could see something like Impact doing it. Or
I knew you were going to say Impact.
No, no. I mean, it's something. No, but that's what I thought. It's something different. I thought Impact. Or I can even see like maybe MLW or someone like that doing it. So
doesn't Impact already does it? Don't the fans just write the show anyway?
They have writers.
They do.
They do.
Wow.
They do have writers. What they do, we don't know. But they do have writers. But
outdoor television.
There you go.
Pursuit the challenge.
But the reason why I brought that up is because even some of the successes we've seen that have added great to WWE storytelling have all kind of come from social media. I mean, even long time ago, well, not a long time, that sounds stupid, but even with Becky Lynch, you know, besides the spot, the spectacular opportunity she had with her getting punched face and blood everywhere, she did a interview with a podcast, and I forgot what it was, and she, in much the same fashion that Miz was utilizing social media and some of the other wrestlers were, it was great because it's an additional tool used to lend toward narrating the story. And because so many people of this generation, we already know our business is not really catered toward us as a core. It's these younger people. These people are engaged in a phone like almost 24/7. They take it to the bathroom. They had it on the side of their desk at work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so to have that as a tool, I think is pretty amazing. If they do decide to have the masses decide matches and stuff like that.
Yes.
I would hope that it's not every match. I hope that it's like, you know, like a percentage. You know, how much does the masses percentage lean towards the end product? Because the reason why I say that, I need to be cool because if I had power to say, if like Vince came to me and said, "Hey Rome, what do you think about this match? I'm gonna, you tell me what you decide on it, and then but I won't tell you the percentage of how much I'm gonna utilize what you think to have the outcome of that match."
You do realize if Lucky does actually listen to this, he's probably got a huge fucking boner right now.
He probably does.
Right.
Probably does.
Why?
because he'll be able to finally fantasy book.
But my point that I'm saying is having that percentage not be known to the masses would kind of be cool because it's just kind of like, it's like gambling. You put your money into the machine. You don't know what percentage chance you're going to get. So what do? Based on your personality, you're going to keep putting in. You're going to keep putting in until you get what you want. So as a business model, it does kind of make sense to go ahead and have that strict if they ever decide to do it, whoever does it. I don't see WWE doing it, but I can see, like Raven was saying, other small promotions. If they're smart, they won't reveal what the percentage is. But they'll tell people, like, hey, here's a Facebook poll. Who do you think should win this match? Blah, 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 blah. They put it in, but they don't know if what they decided is going to be the outcome.
Well,
everybody's quiet, so either I said something very insightful or the fucking stupid shit ever.
No, I was just thinking because there was Cyber Sunday and Taboo Tuesday.
So, is that what it was?
WWE's done it before.
So it's basically, you just reinvented the wheel. Nice job, brother.
Damn. You know, but, you know, something I did think about was something of if any promotion... With WWE moving to the Friday nights and leaving Tuesdays open this fall, you know, I could always see counter programming being something live like a Cyber Sunday, you know, that's going to make fans interact with, you know, the WWE product on that Tuesday night.
Well, you know, what would be, I mean, even fascinating is if they specifically did a program that they taped various different spots that were scripted and various different endings. And then when you're watching that particular program, you could choose the direction of the match essentially by choosing, you know, which way you want to go, just like,
which I think is why WWE is not, because that's a little bit too much, you know, they don't have too much time to do something like that. Whereas other promotions do. You know, I think honestly that the idea could possibly be the revival of Lucha Underground.
Do you hear that, Young Bucks? Do you hear that?
They're trying to go live, so you know you can't do it as a live program. You can't do it, but if you're taped, you know, I think it, you know, so it would benefit something like
Impact
if Lucha Underground did come back. That would catch people's eyes to say, hey, we're going to give you the decision. You know, you make the decisions for Dario Cueto, or, you know, so So we'll see.
And I do want to go back real quick about your Cyber Monday and whatever. The reason why I didn't even think to talk about them, because it was a great idea too soon, because technology did not catch up like it is now. Like now, man, if Vince McMahon had doled that out now, it'd be money. I guarantee it. It'd have been money, because you have the people that are engaged already in that.
I just want to say I'm totally listening to you while they're ignoring you on their phones.
It's fine. It's fine. This is regular. I appreciate you coming on the show. Hey, if you can vote right now, I'm putting out a poll on Facebook on should we kick somebody off the podcast and insert Raven.
Is this like Temptation Island?
Oh, come on.
I love that show.
But I appreciate it.
No, I totally forgot. Yeah, no, this era would be perfect for a Cyber Sunday show. Like mm-hmm. it would, and I think it's an event that they probably should think about bringing back, because the way the company loves Facebook and Twitter and all these polls, you know, it's, you know, the company loves polls more than the Vegas strippers do. So.
It's true. Very good nice. Catch. Great yeah. phrase. I mean, even like the draft, if they still use the draft, because I don't know if they are, what the future is with that.
Well, it's a superstar shakeup. Get it right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Superstar shakeup. My apologies. But I'm saying, like, what if there was some kind of way for us to...
Like two people get drafted by the fans.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, as a spot. I think that would be so cool. Yeah. It could be some crazy shit. Yeah, and we all throw it up, but it's based off percentages.
Does the fans pick, you know, two wrestlers who get traded to Raw or SmackDown, then... You know, you pick one wrestler, you know, everyone gets to pick one wrestler from NXT who gets caught up, you know.
That would be amazing. I hope they're listening.
We got to get this podcast over to
sorry,
the important people.
That would be great.
I'm glad we have very important people in here who knows that information to those other important people so they can make this happen. And then we can get credit for it. Boom.
Or it could be that one of us, day one people on the podcast will not receive a contract. Including myself.
Oh, man.
People like, there's only three contracts. There's four of us. Well.
And then Mae Young shoves the tampon down Patterson's throat. Oh, I love it. Oh, man. Well, we've talked about an hour of everything that everybody wanted to know. So, y'all have anything else on your mind?
Oh, I do want to kind of go back, because I know what the last episode of podcast, we talked about things we're looking forward to in 2019.
Yeah.
Gotta say, man, so happy that the first thing I mentioned was just because I think I've told y'all I've been excited watching NXT UK and just like their first takeover that was in Blackpool. It was really good.
What was your favorite match? You're going to say the tag match.
No, actually, I was going to say...
The Tony Storm match.
No, I wasn't going to say that. That's lucky you said that.
The Pete Dunne
match. I was going to say Pete Dunne. But the only reason why I said it is because...
Walter came out of the end.
I was going to say because it was something that not too
Maybe we
often,
should say spoiler alert before we...
Spoiler? It was live, yes.
It was live.
True. But you know, everybody...
I'm not... Look.
It's all good.
By the time this podcast comes out, if they have not seen TakeOver
Thank you.
UK, that's their problem.
Would you like to come here more often, please?
You know, it's a flight. It's an easy flight I can do. I tell you, I can do it the same day if you guys would tape, like, at noon.
Cracker Barrel, anytime you
I
want.
Know, I can fly in at 8, go to Cracker Barrel at 9, do the podcast at noon, be back on the plane by 3.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm very happy to see it, because something that I did mention, it's like I'm really excited to see WWE, you know, go full throttle and kind of go with it. Because when I first saw the first episode, I was very impressed. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I've heard other people say, it's not for me, and that's fine.
Right.
But I'm glad to see it progressing, and I hope they just keep giving them more opportunities.
No,
it's good.
It is. the show is actually great. I watched it today. I know during Rumble weekend at Access, they're doing a tournament where the winner of the tournament can challenge whoever they want that's the champion.
That's amazing.
So, which is funny because everyone's like, Keith Lee is in the tournament, I believe. And if he wins, could he challenge for the 205 title? No. So,
that would be funny.
Right. You know, it'll be interesting to see who wins the tournament. And I think there are some people from the UK on there, as well as NXT and 205 Live. So it's going to be actually a great tournament. I think it's called, World's Collide or something?
I think so.
It's actually going to be a network special. So,
yeah.
Be tuning into that one.
For Impact Wrestling fans, they're now on the Pursuit channel. So I know if you were one of the ones
outdoor pursuit,
one of the ones listening to the the Pop Channel. You probably was like, where are they?
Yeah, because I had them on my Hulu Pop Channel. Yeah. Because I had it linked in and done.
Are you guys going to the Impact tapings next month?
If I can get a ticket, because I don't know where they are.
I'll probably be there. I'll be there for sure.
Give me a ticket.
We got ROH. We got Impact. Now we got AEW. We have a lot of wrestling going out here.
Vegas is coming out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, you start building a stadium and everyone wants to come. Exactly. Come to Vegas.
Yep. So, yeah. Just get my tickets and, you know, right. I'll wire you the funds.
Matt Michaels, you got any final words, man?
No, I just got to take a piss.
Oh, well.
We
should just end the show on
that. We want you to take the mic off before you go there.
Well, I was about to do a remote. So.
Raymond, you good?
I'm actually good.
All right. Hey, we going to get out of here. Thank everyone for listening. Until next week, we'll see you then. Peace.